got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 21 through 23. And Jesus says here, beginning in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching and teaching of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts today in a very special way. Take the word of God and use it as good seed and allow it to fall on good ground in each heart this morning, and then allow it to accomplish in each life that which you have for it to do. We commit this preaching time to you this morning and pray that everybody will receive something from the word that'll be of help to them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we speak to people about their need for the Lord, many of the people that we talk to know that they're lost. They're not trying to fool anyone. They're not even trying to fool themselves. They will come out and tell you that they know that if they were to die today, they would go to hell. They are lost, and they know they're lost. Now, that's a terrible thing, and that is a sad thing. But they are spiritually lost, and they know they are lost. But the scriptures that we just read tell us about those who are lost spiritually and they don't even know they're lost. And notice the Lord doesn't use the word few in verse 22, but he uses the word many to describe the number of those who think they're saved but are lost and don't even know it. In one of his books, Dr. Billy Graham says that he believes that the biggest harvest of lost souls is within the four walls of the church. And evidently, many of these folks will never know they're lost until they stand before God and hear him say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And can you imagine the shock it will be for them thinking they're saved and then hearing God say these awful words to them? Now, who are these many that God's word says are lost and who don't know it? Who are these folks that are lost due to ignorance? Well, we need to look into the word of God to see who these folks are. For instance, there are those who think that just hearing God's word will save them. But that's not true. Just hearing God's word will not save anybody. The fact is, you can come to church 3 times a week and hear God's word preached and taught and be as lost spiritually as those who never attend church. Salvation requires more than just hearing. It takes faith in the Lord Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. And by the way, let me just emphasize this. Jesus is not just one of the saviors of the world. He is the only savior of the world. Jesus is not one of the doors to heaven. He is the only door to heaven. And if you truly believe that, then you can be saved. But if you don't believe it, you can't be saved. Just hearing God's word is not enough for salvation. We must put our faith and our trust in what we hear. For example, we can be sitting in this church this morning, and someone could come running into the sanctuary hollering, "Fire! Fire! Fire!" But you know, just hearing him holler fire will not save you. Once you hear the warning, then in order to be saved, you've got to look for a fire exit and get out of here. And Christ is the only fire exit that mankind has when it comes to salvation. And just hearing the word of God will not save you. You've got to put your faith and your trust in Jesus in order to be saved. For example, Acts chapter 24, you'll learn about the governor named Felix. Governor Felix has the privilege of hearing the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers who's ever preached. But in Acts chapter 24, verse 2, we read these words, "And he," this is Paul, "and he," Paul, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And as he did," it says, "Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" See, when Paul was speaking to him of judgment to come, the Bible says Felix trembled. He heard the word of God. But he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He was saying, "I want to hear more about this forgiveness of sin thing, but right now, it's not convenient. I'll call for you when it is." But as far as we know, that convenient season never came in the life of Felix. Nowhere in the scripture is it recorded that he ever took the time to hear Paul speak again. He was just like many who sit in the church today. They hear God's word preached, but they're waiting for a more convenient time. And like Felix, that time will never come. And there are lots of folks who are in hell for the same reason that Felix is there. They did not intend to go to hell, but they never got around to accepting the Lord Jesus, who could save them from their sin. You see, there is a way to keep from going to hell, but there is no way to get out once you're there. Felix knows that firsthand, and so do all those who have put Christ off until it was too late. Too late. And our churches are filled with people who have heard the word of God preached hundreds of times, yet they're as lost as someone who has never heard the word of God preached. They're part of that group that the Lord said may think they're saved, but will find that they're lost. So many think just because they hear God's word, you know, they've been in a Bible preaching church where they've heard the preaching of the word of God, they think just because they hear God's word, it will save them. But that won't work, because you've got to take the next step. It's important to hear the word of God, but you've got to take the next step and put your faith and your trust in Christ alone. Now, another reason that many are lost and don't even know they're lost is because discipleship will not save anyone. Now, to clarify what I'm saying, we need to define what a disciple is. And very simply put, a disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus. But just because a person is a follower does not mean that he's saved. You know, in John chapter 6, in verse 66, after Jesus has preached some pretty hard things, it says this: "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." They were followers. It says they were disciples of the Lord, but they stopped following the Lord. You know, it's always shocking when people will start attending a church and they seem to really love the Lord, and then all of a sudden, they stop attending. Now, does that mean automatically that there must be something wrong with the church? No. Something is wrong with these people. It seems often they follow the Lord for the wrong reasons. They seem to be looking for more than what the church can offer. They're not satisfied with the Word of God. They're not satisfied with worship. They're not satisfied with the fellowship. They're not satisfied with serving the Lord. And when the church doesn't supply whatever this mystical thing is they're looking for, they're ready to pack up and go to another church where they, after a period of time, will do exactly the same thing they did to the previous church. Why? Because they come for the wrong reason and they leave for the wrong reason. You know, a business, you know as well as I do, a business is not going to hire people that go from job to job to job to job. Because usually something's wrong with a person if they can never find a job that they can stick with. Something's wrong with them and not necessarily the business. And something is wrong with people who go from church to church to church to church to church and they just never settle in anywhere. If a business takes in employees like that, they're soon going to cease to be a business. And if a church takes in members like that, it'll soon cease to be a church. Listen, there's just something strange about people who just go from job to job to job to job, and something strange about people who just go from church to church to church to church to church, and they never settle in anywhere. And the Bible teaches that this same thing happened to the Lord Jesus. It says, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, that got me to thinking. The Lord Jesus, the greatest personality, the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher that ever walked on this earth, had people hear him preach, and then they walked away from him. Why? I mean, what's wrong with these people? Why would they do such a thing? And you'll notice that these people that I talked about, these disciples, had walked with him. And they had traveled with him. They had heard him. They had watched him. But then they stopped. In a sense, you could say they left the church. And why did they do that? Why did they walk away? It was because they felt he no longer served their purpose. You see, just being a follower, a disciple, does not make you Christian. To be very honest with you, there are lots of people out in this world who are, in a sense, infatuated with the Christian religion, right? And they'll do all kinds of things that they think are Christian things to do. But the problem is, they do not know Christ in their heart. They have no personal relationship with him. All of their Christian stuff is all outward show with no inward reality to it. And so what they have is not real Christianity. You see, just being a follower or a disciple does not make you a Christian. We have a good example of this in the life of Judas Iscariot. The Lord said in John 6, verse 70, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Judas was one of the 12 disciples. So that means he was a Christian, right? No. The Lord Jesus said he was a devil. He was a follower for 3.5 years. But he was not a Christian. Thinking that just being a follower will save you is as ridiculous as thinking that just shaking the preacher's hand will save you. See, Christianity is more than religious activities. Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. And so just hearing God's word will not save you, and just discipleship will not save you. And then third and finally, let me say this, just good works will not save you. Even religious works like baptism or communion or tithing or church membership, those are all good things, but they cannot save your soul from sin. Listen, if good works could save us from our sin, then we would have had no need for the Savior to come to the earth and die for our sins on an old rugged cross. But the truth is, no one has ever been saved by good works. Paul puts it this way in Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he hath shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, no one has ever been saved by good works. People are saved by putting their faith in Christ the Savior. But yet we have churches all across the nation that preach, oh, you do this and you'll be saved, or you do that and you'll be saved. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, God's word explicitly states, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's word states, when it comes to salvation, the only way you can be saved is by the grace of God, not by our works. Our works have nothing to do with our salvation. Salvation has to do with the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. It's by the grace of God that we receive through faith in Christ. And so the Lord tells us our churches have many people who think they're saved, but they're not. And the Bible clearly shows us just hearing God's word will not save you. Just discipleship will not save you. Just doing good works will not save you. So what will save you? Glad you asked. A couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, you got to recognize that you're a sinner. You might as well be honest with God about that, because he already knows it. And so do you. And by the way, in case you haven't figured it out, so do all your family and friends. They know you're a sinner too. So you might as well just be honest. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just be honest about that. And then you got to recognize that you can't save yourself. You can't forgive your own sin. You can't get yourself into heaven. Right? Jesus asks a very important question. In Luke 5:21, he says, who can forgive sins but God alone? The answer is nobody can forgive sins but God alone. We got to recognize that. Recognize you cannot save yourself. And then you need to repent of your sin. Just admit to the Lord that, yes, you are a sinner and that you are willing, with his help, to turn from your sin. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so you must repent of your sin. Be willing to turn from your sin. And then you need to recognize that Jesus alone is the Savior of the world. He's the one who shed his blood and died on an old rugged cross for your sins. And then he rose again 3 days later so you could have eternal life. That's the message that the Bible calls the gospel, the good news. And that's what you got to believe in order to be saved. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day so you could have eternal life. You got to recognize that Jesus and Jesus alone is the Savior. And then you need to do this. Just receive him into your heart. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just open your heart and by prayer call out to him and invite him into your heart and your life to be your Savior and Lord. You see, there are a lot of things out there that cannot save you. But there's one thing that can, and that is faith in Christ and faith in Christ alone. And I challenge you to settle this matter in your heart this morning. And if you've never done so before, I challenge you and exhort you to invite Christ in to be your Savior and Lord. Don't be part of that crowd who comes to judgment day thinking they're saved when they're really not. Don't get caught in that crowd. Settle this matter now while you have the opportunity. Because I can guarantee you this, you do not want to stand before God and hear him say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. And Lord, I know this has been a very serious message. No jokes, no funny